We pray that we will know that you are right here, right now, Emmanuel, God with us. Ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to love. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. One night in late October, when I was far from sober, returning to my home with manly pride, my feet began to stutter. So I lay down in the gutter, and a pig came by and lay down by my side. A lady passing by was heard to say, "You can tell a man who boozes by the company he chooses." And the pig got up and slowly walked away. That poem came out of the Prohibition era, as did Alcoholics Anonymous. Interesting thing about Alcoholics Anonymous, a lot of people don't realize the role of the church in getting it started. Bill Wilson, one of the founders, had a genuine experience, a life-transforming experience of Jesus Christ that helped set him free from alcoholism. And he wanted to be able to bring that into the experience of others. Ah, but the problem was, it was the Prohibition era. And the church didn't like drunks. And drunks didn't like the church. For a good reason, right? Because of that human tendency to be judgmental. People don't like feeling judged. And sometimes we can do that, right? You know how that is. We've all had that look where people kind of, you know, sum us up and maybe we don't fit in at the country club. And people don't feel like they can't draw, like they can draw close to God until they have their whole act together sometimes. You know, I'll come to church when I get this worked out. The problem is we just exchange one way of doing things for another. I mean, the man who gets over his alcoholism by the grace of God then is overly harsh at times with others who have not yet. Because we forget how far God has brought us. Scripture says that it is for freedom Christ has set us free. And it's interesting, when it says that, Paul writes about that in Galatians, it has to do with a context of legalism and our having to do certain things to get good with God. But our passage this morning is about this. It's about freedom and new strength to move forward in areas of our lives that we didn't think possible because of the presence and grace of God. So turn with me, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. 1 Timothy 1, 12 through 17. Paul writes, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. What Paul shows us here is one of the absolute best ways to share your faith with someone. And I hope you are doing that at this time of year, because this is a tender time of year for many people. Many people feel the loss of those who were with them last Christmas, who aren't this year. Many people are wondering, you know, why do I have to go through a difficult time at Christmas time? And it's because they have just enough of Christmas, just enough, without the hope. My wife said to me this morning, you know, we've made Christmas such a superficial thing. And it is, right? If we just get caught up in the whatever. I don't want to go on too much about it because preachers do at this time of year. But where's our hope? Where's our hope? I mean, it's either grounded in Jesus or what do we have? You know, the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who comes to me, though he die, yet will he live. That's hope. That means the worst the world can throw at us. I mean, my hope and my joy, the candle we lighted this morning, are either grounded in those things, or I'm in trouble. And my soul is sad. The truth is, though, that people are wary of those who act like they have it all together. If you only knew the Lord like I know the Lord, kind of thing, just doesn't fly very well. But if you know what God has done for you, and you're willing to talk about it, you see, there's the rub. There are some very private things. But maybe sometimes we can talk about those areas where we've struggled without having to go into all the details, except to say, man, I mean, if you knew, you know, the goods God has on me. You see, that's where Paul is going. Even though, verse 13, I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy. The interesting thing is that Paul is talking about his calling in all of this. It's like, yeah, I did all of that. But God wastes nothing. I mean, it's just because of God's kindness to me. I mean, Paul's grateful for the life God brought him into, for his salvation, the fact that he really was set free from hatred and violence and opposition to God in his heart. He remembers where he was before and the difference that Jesus made in his heart and life. Think about it. How about you? You know, sometimes when people talk about the difference Jesus has made in their heart and life, they talk so much about the way they were in the past that you almost think that they want to go back to it. They emphasize it so much. And what Paul is saying here is simply, yeah, man, I mean, except for the grace of God, which was just poured out on me, I'm messed up. Can you say that? Do you know that? Because if you don't know it, then you really can't share Jesus with anyone. I'm sorry. And you need to go back to square one. Because you've forgotten what he's done for you. Which is why we need to ask the Holy Spirit day after day, give me more yourself, you know, fill me with your love. Humility is something that God treasures. God opposes the proud, but gives, fill in the blank, anybody?
Grace.
Grace to the humble. Man, I need it. And I know how to get it. But I don't like it sometimes. Until I go there a little longer. And then I love it. Because it's like, of course. You know? Get over yourself. Recognize how much you need Jesus so that you can just be open about that in a humble and non-judgmental way with someone else. That draws them. Because that's His Spirit. And sometimes we're so private and so guarded and we want to bring only our best to church, thank you, right? We've kind of set it up that way, but no! It's the old hospital for sinners concept. What has he done for you? What has he saved you from? What does he continue to bring you out of and help you with? What changes has he made and is he making in your heart and life? Because if you can articulate that, oh, you've got a beautiful witness. That's such a good thing. Go to your weakness and be open about it. Because God will move through that. You know, maybe you weren't violent like Paul, maybe it was something else, but if you can't say it, you need to get alone with Jesus long enough until you can. He'll show us. He does. It's such a good thing. It's like the old Shaker hymn. 'Tis a gift to be simple. 'Tis a gift to be free. 'Tis a gift to come down where you ought to be. And it's like, thank you, Lord. Set me free again. He sets us free from ourselves. And that's where Paul is coming from. Look at verse 14. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This is the same guy, you know, the violent man, the one who's holding the coats while Stephen is stoned, the one who's on the way to persecute Christians. Think about it. This is the one who would write, "Love is patient. Love is kind." He's the one who wrote the Philippian church, "I have you in my heart, and I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus." I long for you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Do you see the tenderness in that? Where is the tenderness in our hearts for the way Jesus has loved us? For what he's done and what he's continuing to do as a real person, whom you and I will one day look on just as we're looking on each other. Where has he been tender with you? Where is he bringing you out of darkness into his light, from holding coats to love is patient, love is kind, I long for you with the affection of Christ Jesus? Is that affection at work in you and me, so that we also it flows out of us into others? Because if Jesus loved us and loved them, then our hearts are going to be carried in that direction as well, right? Loving them too, even in their difficult places. How Jesus waits to show us his affection. And so we come to the last verse of our text, verse 15. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. He's probably writing that because this was actually a saying that was already circulating in the church before this was written down. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. I love the way he adds that. Now, why does he do that? Have you ever thought, there's no way God can forgive me? There is no way God can forgive me for the things I've done, things I've thought, things I've said. Here's proof that he can and he will. It's why he came. He wants to. It's the very meaning of Christmas. It doesn't stop him from loving us. His love meets us right there. This is love. Not that we loved God, John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, as he described himself, wrote, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. There is nothing you could have done that would stop God from loving you. And the fact that you're worried about it, that shows you that his Spirit hasn't given up on you. He's still at work. to draw you closer. I love what another sinner, John Newton, wrote about this. And you know some of his history, John Newton, a slave trader who swore so creatively that it made his ship's captain nervous. Here it is. God sees us from first to last. A thousand evils arise in our hearts, a thousand wrongnesses in our conduct, which as they do arise, are new to ourselves. And perhaps, at times, we were ready to think that we were incapable of them. Oh, I would never do that. But none of them are new to him to whom the past, present, and future are the same. God, who exists outside of time, sees it all. The foresight of them, just because he knew of them, did not prevent him from calling us by his grace, though he knew we were vile and should prove ungrateful and unfaithful. Yet he would be found of us. Yet he would be found of us. He would knock at our heart's door and gain an answer. That's why he came. And you gotta love that. And you gotta love him for it. Because he loves. And God is able to take our worst and make us stronger in the broken places so that we can tell others, by virtue of our own life experience, how real and how practical and how great his love really is. Because Jesus really does set us free. And dear one, I know, please, how hard it is for us to sometimes understand that. We think, well, he might do it for others, but he might not do it for me. And I think of how I struggled, and I know I've mentioned this before, but please hear me. Man, when my son was mainlining heroin, there was part of me that doubted that God could ever set him free from that. Because that's the world's way of thinking. But he did. He did. And now I don't get to see him on Christmas Eve because he has to preach. You know? And I'll take that for the rest of my life. That's who Jesus is. Look at verse 16. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Hey, where are those places in your heart or life or in the life of someone else, someone you love, where you maybe you've lost faith in what God can do? Would you ask him for the faith of a child? For those places before you leave today? Well, I don't want my hopes to be dashed. No. He is the source of hope. the closer you and I are to Him, the more hope will pour into our hearts. Come what may, He is so good. I mean, this is the thing about Him. The thing that I think we have trouble getting, I know I have. God is so good that He's not too good for us. And everyone who's ever been made to feel not enough, you know, especially if it was by someone who thought they were doing God's stuff, but really weren't. God is so good that He's not too good for you or for me. And how good that is. That's why He came, to love us and bring us home to Himself. Home. I mean, that's at the heart of it all when we think of Christmas, right? And that's the home that never changes. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and be with them. Sup with them means literally to be, spend time, hang out with them, and they with me. If anybody loves me, they will obey my commands. And the Father and I will come to them and make our home with them. If you've never let Him do that, and you know you need to draw closer, will you let Him? Will you let Him love you? Because that stuff of sin and self that trips us up, it's not worth it. Paul wrote in verse 17, "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever." The more He knew His love, the more He loved Him back. That's the affection of Christ Jesus. He misses us if we've been away. Let's go to Him now. May we pray. Jesus, thank You that You came into the world to save sinners. And oh Lord, we need to be saved. And we praise You, we thank You that is Your heart. And if there is someone here today who has not yet received, but now today sees it, maybe it's for the first time, and wants to receive You, Lord, thank You that You are willing. That You long to pour Your affection into them. Lord, help us to do that which part of us rebels against, to say I was wrong, to say I'm sorry. Forgive me. I trust what you did on the cross to save me. I receive that. I receive you. I want you, your peace, your spirit, your strength to guide and guard my life. I want to be yours. I want to follow you. And if you pray a prayer like that, remember that Scripture says, whoever received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons and daughters of God. Thank you, Lord, for the miracle you work, even in us, especially in us. Oh, we praise you for it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
tidings from the shepherds to the angels. What kind of tidings were they? Glad. Good. Tidings of what? Great joy. Great joy. Oh, let it in. Let it in. Let it in. Let it in. So you can give it out to the praise and glory of God. Let him in, our beautiful Savior. Oh, help us to share you and love others to you this season. In Jesus' name, all God's people say, amen. Amen. Go in peace. God bless you all. Thank you.
Driving. Yeah. 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 Yeah.